Guys, we are finishing off our sermon series. We were focusing on this subject that you were specifically made by God and for God, for a life that was planned by God for you before you were born. And this is the final chapter. You don't have to worry. It stands on its own, but it'll be very good for you if this is your first time, or if you are really interested in this thing of purpose, to go back, because this is the sixth sermon on this, and download all of them, put them in a folder, and get it through your system. If we can go to the next slide, we've basically covered these gifts that you find in the Bible. Each one was a sermon. These are different types of gifts the scripture speaks about. We spoke through each one of them. We unpacked them, mentioned every single gift, gave examples so that you can have an understanding for yourself. And some of you put your hands up and I was saying, what about this gift? And some of you realize, oh, this is in my life. Now I understand why I am this way or that way. And this is very good for you to create self-awareness. Self-awareness is a great thing, and we're going to get to that a bit later today as well. And here's basically the overview, if we can go to the next slide. We're actually talking about your shape. We believe that Scripture has a lot of mentions about God making you, designing you, shaping you, knowing what He wanted to do with you even before you were conceived. One Scripture says, before the world began, for creation, God knew about you and He thought you up. And so if we're going to quickly go to the next slide, please. It's, if you just take the word shape and you take the first word or the word and just spell out, we spoke about spiritual gifts. It actually took us 5 Sundays to get here to work through those. And today we're going to talk about your heart, your abilities, your personality and your experiences. All these things were made by God. And when it comes to your experiences, it was ordained and formed and protected by God. Even the bad things, we're going to get to that. We're going to move through H-A-P-N-E tonight. You are shaped. Are you ready for this? Here's the thing that you must understand is that the greatest gift you can get in this world is what? What's the greatest gift? I'm hearing salvation. Something else? Anyone else? Eternal life? All right. The greatest gift you can get is God. Right? He is the greatest gift. What you get is eternal life. Okay? Very good answer. But here's the thing. The greatest gift is God in your life. But not only is He a gift to you, He gives you gifts so that you can be a gift to one another. God is extremely generous. He does the gifts things. He gives gifts. And we're going to talk about this tonight. And I want to tell you, you are a gift. You were made to be a gift to a community, to friends. Amen? So let's head into this. I'm just going to go nice and fast tonight because, Carl, I just want to commend you. Guys, I don't know how to say this, but yesterday was a long day for my friend Carl. And there was a specific friend of ours. He's in the church in Pietermaritzburg. Man, I mean, he kept Carl busy until the evening. When I thought everything was done, he couldn't walk anymore. They gave him an axe and he had to chop down a tree. I mean, it just carried on. And Carl, thanks for leading worship tonight, but I don't want you to fall asleep. You're my measure tonight. So when I see your head goes down, then I know, okay, I'm going to go fast. Number one, straight up, your heart was purposefully made. Do you know that? What do I mean by your heart? Let me just read the scripture. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Your heart, okay? Well, we're not referring yet to the physical organ, right? Okay, yes, your organs were shaped by God as well. And by the way, your heart, your ECG, who knows what an ECG is? That thing that shows how your heart beats, all right? Do you know, even though there's different curves and they've got names, all right? Like it's a Q curve and the P curve and stuff like that. And then by reading that thing, they pick up what, if there's something wrong with your physical heart. But even that thing in each one of you guys, it looks different. Not one ECG in the world is the same. Like physically, your heart is unique. But also when we talk about your heart and the devotional, your emotional center, the way you think, feel, you are different than everyone else. And sometimes that's something that freaks us out. And it's okay, but let me tell you what, it was supposed to be that way. The one thing that's amazing about all of us being different is that we can learn a lot about one another. It's something you sometimes experience that when you spend time, especially with a new friend, you're like, there's something about this person that is so amazing. It's because you are seeing that person's heart. Right? The way they think about things, the way they feel, and what it does is it brings a richness into your life. Wow, I've never thought about it that way. This is a great person to be my friend. But it can also scare us a lot. The fact that we are different. It freaks us out sometimes. I'll tell you an example. We'll go on missions. So who's going on missions this year? Let me just get an idea. There's a lot of us. It's going to rock. And so what happens in missions is sometimes, you know what, we'll be driving around with a bucky and one of the guys will fall from the bucky, all right? And they'll stand up and there's this long cut and they come running. But just the way in which they describe what happens, it sounds funny to the guys and they start to laugh. And then one of the girls, they're just mad. How can you laugh? This is not funny. Did you see that cut? And we are just laughing away. The guy who's got a cut, he's a bit shocked. He doesn't know what's going on. Half of the girls is crying because the guys are laughing. Why? We are different. The way we respond to stuff, it's just weird. We'll be talking in small groups. Suddenly, two people will just start to laugh. Everyone else like, how can you laugh? This is not funny. This is not a laugh moment. This is a cry moment. We're different. But your heart is your heart. And He made it that way. And sometimes you are the odd one out in your family. Why? Because He made you. Right? Your parents maybe physically made you, but God shaped you way before the world began. And that's why you are maybe a bit weird. But you know what? You're supposed to be that way. All right? Here's my advice. Just love Him with all your heart. Just go flat out. Don't be hesitant. Stop measuring your heart with someone else. Just go with it. Flat out. Just check this next slide. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today to love the Lord your God and serve Him with all your heart. Give Him everything. But here's the thing. Your heart of the software that's downloaded into it by God is 100% from God. But scripture is very clear. As you follow Him, you what? What happens to you? You mature. You're exactly the way you should be, but you were made and it's intended by God that you would meet Jesus and mature. And we've used these examples. For example, some of us in our hearts, and it relates a lot with the gifts of the Son, all right? If you want to go back and listen to that sermon, the gifts of the Son has got a lot to do with how you're made. And for example, one of the gifts mentions is the gifts of generous, being generous, right? Generosity. And someone will say, that person's got a generous heart. But you know that being a generous heart, it's very easy to steal from you as well. If you are naive, if you have not grown your heart. And I've used this example, I think, two times. Sometimes, especially women with the heart of mercy, especially young ladies that care a lot, is often the woman that gets abused by men the most. There's nothing wrong with them. They're made that way, but it was intended that they grow. They grow their mercy to a place where they have the mercy, but they are also mature in their thinking and wise. And so there's no mistake with your heart. You just need some maturing, maybe. Bring it to God. Say, God, this is my heart. When I see stuff like this, it freaks me out. I want to run away. How should I approach this or that situation? And you've got amazing friends in your small group, and that is where you will mature your heart. Amen? Just three more examples on the screen, just to show you how clear Scripture is with this. Do not be afraid. who've done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve Him with all your heart. Your heart is made that way. As not as people pleasers, but as bond servers, doing the will of God from the heart, wholeheartedly. You must enjoy it. Your heart must beat for it. Proverbs 4 verse 23, keep your heart with all vigilance. What does it say? It says, protect your heart. Your heart is not always, is not only very important, it is also very fragile. Do you know that a broken heart can lead you to very dark places? Your heart was not meant to be broken. The heart is amazing. It can take a lot of beating, it can take people being harsh, it can take big disappointments, but it must heal. The heart is also made so that it can heal with God. Isn't that true? So you are carrying your heart in a way in your hands. And the way in which you do life with God determines whether you are good with healing your heart or bad. If you are not good with healing your heart, you carry a lot of pain with you. All right? And one of these things that happens in relationship with God is that He helps you to heal your heart and restore it to full strength. And often when you think, oh, there's something wrong with me. No, there's not. Your heart is just hurting. And He's waiting for it. Amen? Does that make sense? Number one, your heart was purposefully made. Know that. Draai net nou jou maaikie toe en sê, ek's mal, maar ek is so gemaak. Number two, your abilities are from God. So some of the ladies or some of the wives just said, amen, Lord, you know, you made this man crazy. Just help me. I'm going to read you a scripture that's on abilities, and then we're going to quickly chat about it. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. I don't know. What does grumbling sound like? Mills, what would you say? Grumbling. Is that grumbling? Okay. Any case. I'm trying to. The whole day I'm thinking, what does grumbling sound like? Any case. Like it? Like your tummy when you're hungry. Okay. That's why the people must be hospitable so that you can get food. I'm with you. Okay. Any case, let's get back to the sermon. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And it goes on. Whoever speaks is talking about very practical abilities. We're not now right talking about the ability to see demons or, you know, pray in a different language. We're talking about serving one another. And here's the examples. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, the one who speaks for God, is what it's saying. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever. Serve in such ways, use your ability in such a ways that God looks good. That's what the scripture is saying. Now here's the thing about abilities. Just because you have an ability does not mean you are using your ability for God's glory. Does that make sense? Let me give you an example. Maybe you have the ability to speak well, like the scripture says. But do you know that you can use your tongue to break people down when you have the gift to speak very well? Isn't that just simple? It's true, right? If you are very eloquent with words, it's maybe very easy for you to break someone else down. But that speaking, is that an ability from God? Yes. The ability to speak well was given to you by God. At that time, maybe you are not using it for the best you can. But do you know that with your words, you can build another person up? Do you know that with your words, you can share what Christ has done in your life? Do you know that with your words, you can sing to Him? You see, it's not so much what is the ability. What is important is whether I'm bringing it to God. Are you with me? A lot of you guys know there's a lot of guys here that plays rugby. Let's just use that for example. That talent can be used so that I may look great. You know, everything, I want to play in such a way that everyone thinks I am very amazing. Now, did God give me that gift? Yes, He did. But you know what? At the rugby club, you can also meet someone who in that week maybe lost a child in the birth process, his wife, and you can be there for them. You know, you can use your abilities to enter into a community and serve the community. All the abilities is from God. That's not the question. That's simple. What Scripture asks of us is when we bring our ability, when we serve, serve in such a way that Jesus Christ looks great. What abilities do you have? What are you great at? What do you excel in? Is it so that you can look great? I'll tell you no. It's so that you can change lives. But your abilities was given to you by God. You know, another ability some people have is the ability to do great business. It's an ability from God. Now, there's a guy in Acts, in the book van Handelinge, his name is Cornelius, and it said he was a rich man, he was a centurion, he was over many men, he received a very big salary, and it said he gave generously to the community. And then Scripture says he's giving his alms that he was supporting the poor with, went up to God as a memorial. His ability to create wealth was from God. And what he did is he presented it to God as a gift to serve the community. And what the Holy Spirit did is he sent Peter to his house, and him and his whole family changed forever. Received the greatest gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you can do business, do it well. It's from God. And there's a lot of guys here that's amazing with that. We all know that the ability to create wealth can also be the very thing that destroys you, your marriage, your life, and everything. It's not business that's evil. It's a great thing. It's a skill. It's an ability. It's from God. Here's the thing. What is your ability? And are you bringing it to God? Your abilities is from Him. He gave it to you. Very specifically. Are you with me? Great. Let's go to slide 11, Romans 12. It says, I appeal to you, ek vra vir julle, ek pleit met julle, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies. Present your ability. Bring it. Here it is, Lord. What do you want me to do with this ability? What do you want me to do with this skill? How is this going to change lives? How is this going to look great for you? Your abilities are from God. Amen? What are you good at? Maybe it's time you stop worrying at what you suck at, okay? And start focusing on what you are great at. Because I bet there's some things that you are really good at and use that. Amen? Number 3, God planned your personality. Now, some of you are thinking of your friend. He said, that's a harsh one to get down. I'm only joking. Check this out. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Who made you who you are? God. It's by His grace that you are the way you are. It's His fault, all right? So if you have a problem, don't take it out on your wife. Take it out on God, right? Because He made you the way you are. That's why you get mad at the stuff you get mad about, all right? It's all His fault. See, wives, I'm helping you here. But check what Paul says. He says, His grace toward me was not in vain. It doesn't even need me. What he's saying is God made me a specific way, and I'm going to make sure that the way He made me is not going to be a waste. All right? That's very important. Here's a thing for you, and then we're going to just look at it in Scripture. There's two things about your personality. The first thing is it's a gift that gives momentum to your calling. What that means is certain things will come to you very easily. Even when you are a very young Christian, some things will just be so easy for you. For me, the day I gave my heart to Jesus, I was not scared to talk to other people in a small group, whether it's 10 or 20 people, about what happened in my life. It's something about my personality as well. I like having people around me. Even before I knew God, it's just my personality. But other things were very hard for me. And what I also want to say is, in certain situations, it can also be an agent of resistance. There's certain things that God wants you to do, but it is not very natural for you. But you must still do it. Are you with me? Some of us, it's very natural for us to worship God with our bodies, to put up our hands and to some people dance and express themselves. And for some of us, it's very difficult. We'd like to freeze. All right. Now, you're never going to be a dancer like that person, but it's good that you become comfortable talking with God, right? And whether you are shy or not, right? It's okay that you're not an extrovert, but at some stage you need to talk with God like He is near, right? Now, it's not like whether you like that or not. You must just do it. And you must grow in it. You don't have to dance. It's okay. But breathe out and talk to Him. He loves you. All right? Now, just check this example out in Scripture. Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." He's saying there's something in you that you must stir up. Why is he writing it to Timothy? Because Timothy is not doing it. There's something in him that he is not using. And so Paul is saying, hey, I remind you, that gift, stir it up, all right? And then he says, God het jou nie bang gemaak nie. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's what he's saying. Hoekom is jy bang? All right? But of power and love. And then it goes on, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, but share in the suffering of the gospel, the power of God. Here's the thing. If we read the Bible, what we see about Timothy is that he was very pastoral, right? If I think of Timothy, I think a bit of Cole, all right? Very steadfast, very good with people. He really loved the people, all right? Now, the next part has nothing to do with you, Cole. But Timothy had a hard time testifying to people about God. He had the hard time being an evangelist. And so at another stage, Paul writes and says, do the work of an evangelist. So what we know is being pastoral came very natural to Timothy. It was his personality. It was made that way. To share about God to other people was not that natural to him. He was a bit afraid, we can see as well. God did not give you a spirit of fear. But still he writes, he says, but do the work of evangelism. So what is important about your personality? What am I on about here? With your personality, it's very important that you understand certain things will be easy. But just because something is hard and not natural does not mean that you must wipe it off the table. Okay? And I'll give you an example about that. Some of you, who'd say I'm an introvert here? Okay, just hands up. Come on. One. Okay, who's the extrovert? Let me show you. Who doesn't know what the heck I'm talking about? Okay. Now, here's the thing. Here's something you don't know about extroverts if you're an introvert. Okay, I'm a bit of an extrovert. My wife is a bit of an introvert. And sometimes it's clash of clans in our home. Okay. But extroverts, we get excited. We get emotional about stuff. That was great. That was amazing. That was awesome. That's how we talk. How was small group? Man, radical, out of this world, crazy. And so when something like small group comes in the week, we are already exciting about it and inviting the whole town. Okay? Nenelis. Okay? Now, when you're an introvert, you're not so much motivated by emotions. So maybe it's Wednesday and you're thinking, sell. Okay? And your extrovert friend is sending all the smiley faces. It's small group. It's got to be great. It's crackers and hands that clap. And you're like, and you just want to send back. Okay. Now, there's no introverts like that in this church. I'm just joking. But here's the thing. You might be very tired because you know what? Your energy levels works different. It goes like this. The extroverts go like this. But now you end up, you say, okay, I want to go to small group. I want to end up, I'm just going to go. When you drive back home, you think, why did I ever doubt about God? That was so good for me. I'm so glad that, you know, this thing that was on my heart, I'm just glad I could share it and someone prayed with me. And here's the thing. If you're an extrovert, you'll want to go to small group every week. What do you have to do if you're an introvert? Talking about your personality. You have to write it in your diary. And so if you want to grow as a believer, in the case of this introvert, I'm just talking about a person. It's not true for everyone, okay? You have to discover that with your personality, certain Wednesdays, you are not going to feel like going to small group. You need to be aware. And so what you do is you make a commitment to go. Whereas your friend, he wants to go. Can you see the difference? 2 years later, what happened in the introvert's life? He developed integrity, character, endurance, discipline. The extrovert, he had a blast of a time. He just went. So here's the thing. Discover who you are as a person. And let someone help you. I'm the kind of person, I'm very bad with admin. All right? If I did not have people around me in this church, some of them are sitting here to help me, this church would have been dead. We would have been bankrupt. Okay? We'd have a great time doing it. But there'd be nothing left. Okay? But here's the thing. I know it about myself. I know it about my personality. I don't want to sit down and talk too much about the important things when I have fun. Okay? But there's people like Henriette that bugs me the whole time. And she says, what is happening next week? What must we do? What is important? We need to do the announcements. And I need those people. Amen. But what about you? What comes easy for you and what comes hard? Mature people, even if it does not come natural to them, and those that's on a, I've got a alarm going off. Like a song, man. Huh? Okay, cool. If you want to follow Jesus and become a disciple, you're going to have to champion your weaknesses as well. Amen. You never have to be excellent in something that you really suck at. All right? But you're going to have to manage it so that you can grow. So consider your personality. Chat to someone about how, what gets you going. What about church? Are you really excited? Some of you love what we're doing right now. There's this Igweret Pena Club. But when it comes to singing, maybe you think it's a bit long. You want to get to the word. That's okay. But worship Him as well. Worship Him. Say, God, for me, it's I love to receive the word and to internalize it. And when everyone's singing, I'm feeling a bit like they're crazy. You need to be a bit crazy as well. All right. You need to stand through worship and worship God until we get to the word. Some of you just want to sing. My friend Rian is like that. If we'd still be worshiping, you'd be happy. But Rian, jy moet luister na die woord ook. It's just how it's like. Amen? Your personality is from God. Enjoy your strengths that comes natural. Use it as momentum. And champion the harder parts of it as well. Number three, you planned your personality. Let me just say this, and this is very important because a lot of you that's here, it's just something that's in the water in our church. Everyone here wants to make a contribution, isn't that right? Everyone here wants to change someone's life. There's no right or wrong temperament for ministry. I just want to say that. There's no ideal personality for ministry. What is essential, and without it you can forget it, is a conviction to start and never stop. Doesn't matter your personality type. If you start with the commitment to never stop, you will make it. In your personality type. And carpenters, men of the Oudvak, they know it. You work with the grain, not against it. And God will work with your grain. He will use you in your strengths. And He's going to ask you to be aware of your weaknesses. Are we together? Yes, your personality is a blessing. Okay? Number four. We're almost done. It's the last one. God guided the experiences in your life. Did you know that? I can't go into this too deep. We started with this in the beginning of the year with answering lifestyle questions. I just want to say that the devil is out there to rip you apart, to kill you. That's his desire. He wants to kill you. He wants to rip your head off. That's what he wants to do. And God is constraining evil in this world. This world is full of sin. It's just the way it is. I'm not going to go into that. But let me tell you what. God has patience so that more people can come to him in this world. In the meanwhile, we have to deal with sin and the experiences that comes with it. And here's the truth. God has guided it and filtered it to you so that you are still here today. You're not dead. And so your experiences that is in your past is going to do something to you in your life going forward. Let me just go to the next slide. There's a few things on there that I want you to see. There's just a few examples. I'm sure I could come up with more, but just to name five. You've got family experiences and each one is different. Maybe you never ever met your father. Maybe you met him and you wish you never had. All right. Maybe you didn't have a mother. Maybe you sometimes went to bed and just wish your parents were dead. These are things that happens. Maybe you had great parents. I'm not sure. Maybe you had some amazing experiences. Maybe you had educational experiences. Maybe you tried to study something you discovered. I really can't do this. Maybe you had great experiences. There's different life experiences, right? And the worst one of them all is those painful experiences. Maybe it incorporates some of the above or all of the above. Okay? And I'm going to take one of those moments where some of you are going to be very mad at me. But I'm just going to, can I be honest about this with you? Is that okay? Who says I can be honest? Okay. Die res maak toe jou ore. Here's the thing about your life experiences. They will make you or they will break you. One of the two. The way they will break you is they will cause you to be so average that you just suck. At the end, you'll say, what a waste, my life. And this is how it happens. Life did happen to you in a terrible way. And it was unfair. It was wrong what happened to you. And most people will agree. No child should be beaten by a dad or uncle when they're little. Not one. If I get that man, I don't know what I'll do. It's not right. But it happened. And you are here now. Now you can do one of two things. The first thing will get you nowhere. When it comes to you stepping up in life and start to become who God called you to be, it's going to take always, when it comes to following God, it's always going to take perseverance, endurance, and faith, making difficult decisions. And so when you get to that place and that person is talking to you, encouraging you, or someone is just urging you to now go for it, then you bring your story and you say, but you know what actually happened to me? This happened in my life and it was really bad and that's why I can't really, you know, do what you want me to do. And you know what that person will do? They will say, I'm sorry. And they will say shame and stuff like that. And they will have pity on you. And you'll go on and you will not grow. And maybe in 1 year's time, another person will come across your way and they will see something in your heart. They will see your personality, your abilities. And they'll say, wow. If God can take this, He can really do amazing work. And when you get to that conversation, you say, but you know what happened to me at that time? It was really bad. And that person will say shame to you. And they'll have pity. And you'll go on for another year and it will go on and it will never stop. Until one day you say, this is what happened in my past. Jesus is going to take me and I'm going to change. My misery is going to become a testimony. It's going to be ministry. I'm going to do great because of what happened to me. And so let me tell you what something about your experiences. Don't let it cause you to be average. Use it to propel you forward. Let me read you a scripture. Check this out. He who comforts all in all in our affliction. That's painful stuff. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. with the comfort which we, with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Your bad experiences, let me tell you what, God was there when it happened. And you are here now. And He is here now again to say, let's use it. You know who can talk the best to someone who's getting abused? Someone who's been there in the past. They can help them. You know who can really help someone deal with death? Someone who lost a loved one. So you know what? Your dad did pass away. And I still have both my parents. I think I'm going to cry for a week. I don't know. But let me tell you what. Allow God to touch that wound. Because you're going to comfort everyone else who goes through the same road. Your misery can be ministry. That's the thing about your experiences. And it is unique. If you open your eyes, you will see a lot of the stuff that you dealt with. If you look around, you'll see there's a need for other people to walk a road with that specific thing. And you are there. Are you going to use your experiences to do amazing things, or are you going to use it as an excuse? And that's my challenge to you guys today. God guided your experiences. Amen? I'm not going to call out all the biblical examples. There's loads of them. And let me just say, as we come to the end of the sermon series, is some of you guys are very young and you've been through very deep waters. Here's the thing. Bring it to God and you are going to excel and do amazing things. God has done everything. He's waiting for you. He loves you. What did He do? Gave you a personality. You are awesome. You have friends. You know, people actually like you in this church. Sometimes I think, I don't know why these people are my friends. But God gives us grace. We love one another. You have a personality. You have abilities. You've got a past. Some of your past, when I hear it, I cringe. All right? But what about your future? Let the devil cringe, all right? You can do amazing things. And I'm blessed to have you guys here. And I'm blessed to see what's going to happen in this town when we take ownership around these things. Amen? Let's stand up tonight in this place. Amen.